It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Many of us have a vision of college as being a utopian 4 years, afternoons spent on the quad, cramming for finals. But for many Maryland students, it's not just 4 years. It may be 5 or 6. Just 2 out of 5 of all Maryland students in the public university system graduate in 4 years. And many of those students have duties beyond studying. They may be working full-time and raising families. Here's Towson senior Alexandra Gaines, who switched majors several times and is taking at least one extra year because of it.
It's not something that I'm overly upset about because actually both of my parents took 5 years to graduate too, and that was 25-30 years ago. And they're not stressing me about it, and I'm just trying to take it one day at a time.
The University of Baltimore wants more of its students on a 4-year track. Now, about 1 of every 8 of its undergraduate students earns a degree in 4 years. Last week, UB said it will not charge tuition in the final semester for students who graduate in 4 years. They're calling it Finish for Free, and they'll offer it to freshmen who start this fall. Robert Bogle-Mooney, president of the University of Baltimore, joins me in the studio to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Describe the typical University of Baltimore undergraduate.
The typical undergraduate student is atypical. And most of them, however, are first-time college goers in their families. And they don't have either the family background or the family support with respect to going to college because of they don't have the prior experience. In addition to that, a large percentage of them work. About 75% of our students have some kind of financial need. And the ability for them to go full-time without having to work is absent. So they have to spend a certain amount of time working, a certain amount of time doing their schoolwork. In addition to that, many of them are family supporters. Either they help support their family, their birth family, or they are in fact married and have their own children to support. So we have a very atypical kind of student, and it is the student of the future. All of the data indicates that more and more of the people who go to college will look more like this profile than looks like the profile you talked about, who go off to the beautiful campus and spend the afternoons on the quad.
You're going to be wrapping up 12 years as president of the University of Baltimore in a few months. And I imagine one of the things you're going to be remembered for is restoring freshman and sophomore classes to the University of Baltimore. Why did you do that?
Well, there were a variety of reasons. First off, it is a better experience when students can have 4 years in the same institution. They seem to get to know the institution. They grow more. There's more connection. They feel more at home and more part of a community. And a lot of higher education is about community. What happens in the classroom is very important, but the community and connections are also very important. Secondly, it's a more rounded faculty when you teach all 4 years than if you just teach upper division. And many of your best faculty really like to begin with freshmen so that they like the experience of students who are coming right out of high school and right into university life. And then finally, interestingly enough, most of the upper division schools, that's what they're called when they don't do freshmen and sophomores, have disappeared in the United States. At the time we became 4 years, we, in fact...
In 2007.
Yeah, 2007. We were, in fact, one of the, 6 or 7 remaining upper divisions. The economics don't work very well either because the longer, the higher you are in the educational process, the more intense the educational experiences is and the more costly it is. So when you get into your majors and your classes get smaller and your intensity with respect to the professor changes, the economics are different than if you're a four-year institution.
So what is so special about finishing in 4 years? I mean, it seems like all the national trends, like, for example, online courses that students take at their own pace, it seems like all the trends go in the other direction of students taking 5 or 6 years.
That's right. The importance of it is twofold. One is the amount of debt that students accumulate over the period of time increases the longer you're in the university. So if you can do your university in a shorter period of time, the likelihood of your cost and debt is less. Secondly, it also enables you to begin the next stages of your career sooner. You get into the workforce, and the number of years you're in the workforce influences your overall economic health. So if you can get students through in 4 years, it's better for them economically than a longer period of time. In addition to which, it's a more efficient use of university time and space, because you're turning over students and you have more space and more room for students as you come through, rather than the other longer period. However, with students like ours, if you're working 40 hours a week or 25 hours a week, very difficult to carry a full load. So it does take longer to get through if you're if you have the economic need in order to be self-supporting.
We talked to with the University of Maryland Systems Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs, Dr. Joanne Bauman, about the traditional college experience, which she says is changing.
In this day and age, we look at the college experience as not only involving the learning of content and the social maturation part of this, but in a more focused career preparation or life preparation mode, if you will.
So is that where we stand now?
I think so. I think it's a very complicated issue, because there are so many atypical students. And actually, the numbers of students who fall into what would, was the old model for students is very small, and the number of students who don't gets bigger and bigger. So you have that whole business of servicing and serving people with different needs and a different life experience. In addition to that, you've got the difficulty of students who are actually quite poorly prepared. In our 2008 class, more than half of them needed a developmental work of one kind or another, either in math or English. And therefore, it's not only educating, it's also educating and building a foundation for students so they can do college work. And then I am still a believer that college is not about career preparation. Career preparation is a part of college, but college is about maturation and growth and being ready to live and to have a full life. So you need to begin to have college experience that's not only career focused, but which is of course appropriate, but also includes those skills that you need to have a successful life. So the experience, even with all the pressures to get into the workforce, the experience still needs to be balanced against the full educational experience.
This is Maryland Morning on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with University of Baltimore President Robert Bogomoney. We're talking about his school's new program to give incentives to graduate in 4 years. Okay, everything we've talked about so far leads me to believe that you're going to have very few takers when you get to when this year's crop of freshmen get to be seniors, and you'd like to give them free tuition. You won't be president anymore, but
that's right.
It doesn't seem to me you're going to take much of a tuition hit.
We think that the numbers will be small, and we anticipate that. What you have to do at a university, and which I think we're doing very well, is you have to talk about student success. And student success is finishing a college education in some period of time, rational period of time. Whether it's 6 years, 7 years, or 8 years, doesn't matter very much. So you've got to think about a whole variety of ways to help students be successful. And this is just a small avenue. Allowing students to accelerate, helping them to and motivating them to accelerate, and even if it's a small number of students, it'll be a good thing, because we're also doing a whole variety of other things. We've increased our scholarships, we're increasing financial aid, we're increasing developmental materials and new ways of teaching foundational courses. We're doing all kinds of things in order to make students' life more successful. So we see this as a piece, not the whole.
Like most states, Maryland has a goal of increasing the percentage of its residents with a degree. The goal, I think, is to have 60% of Marylanders with a college or associate degree over this coming decade, and now it's about 40%.
Mm-hmm.
But that has very little to do with graduating in 4 years. That, as I've read about it, seems to be really about reaching out to the tens of thousands of Marylanders who left college
having collected quite a few credits but not enough for a degree and convincing them to come back and finish up. So this is a completely different...
It's a part of it. But you have to realize also the more students you can get on 4 years, the more classroom seats you have. And if you can bring back those people and increase the number of students who actually engage in the college experience, you're better able to meet that goal. So even if it's a small number of students that we can get through in 4 years, it opens up seats for other people to have the opportunity.
Is the University of Baltimore also engaged in reaching out to those near completers who've been away and trying
Absolutely.
To get them to finish?
Absolutely.
How do you reach them?
Well, we begin by calling. Although nowadays, that's just the beginning because we use internet, we use anything and every way we can think of to make connection. And then we talk to them about the economics of coming back. We talk to them about why they're not there and how we can help them to solve their problem to come back. And so we're doing everything, as I say, we can think of in order to engage them. And then we talk to them a little bit about the benefit.
I want to get back to what you said about the preparation of students. Half of students need remedial work?
It's actually much higher than that. 95% of the 2008 class needed help in mathematics. So if you, and 50% in related English skills. So if you realize the first year of their experience, a good portion of it is spent in developmental and foundational learning to
Stuff
enable you.
Stuff they should have learned in high school.
Absolutely. But high schools aren't doing that anymore. And if you think about the urban populations, we serve an urban population by and large. And that's what we ought to do. We're in the largest city in the state. We are, in fact, right in the center. We're an urban institution. So our populations are drawn heavily from the city and from the county, which are really urban-related students. So that many of them come with great challenges. And I want to be clear, it's not ability. It's preparation. So we're in the business of preparing students to become college students and then taking them forward. And if indeed the preparation is discouraging in terms of the progression for students, it's very demotivating. So you have to figure out how to get those students to have a sense of progression while they are in fact learning skills that they should have done in 9th, 10th, and 11th grade.
When you say that students aren't prepared, high school graduates coming to you not prepared, is it your sense that they have not looked ahead to college and thought through what they will need, both in terms of attitudes and study skills and content? Or did their guidance counselors not clue them in? Or, I mean, what part of the system is not working?
All of the above. And that's why I begin by talking about first-time college students often don't have role models or guidance from families or people around them who've had the experience and point them in the way to begin to develop the skills they need in order to be successful in college. It's very difficult for guidance counselors to sit down with teenagers, and those of us who have raised teenagers know that, and expect them necessarily to appreciate what you're saying to them, even though it's in their best interest. So you have to do a lot of things. We are now bringing a lot of younger students onto our campus to take them and have demonstration college courses for them so they can get a sense of why and what happens and what you need. We've been doing that for about, I know, I think 7 or 8 years. Again, it isn't necessarily that we will recruit them to our school, but we will begin to open up the visions of their lives to something beyond where they sit. It's just multifaceted. So anything you do. The other thing we're doing is we're working backwards with some of the teachers in the high schools about what the students are going to have to face when they get to university. And we're building some demonstration projects along that line, although they're small. But it's, again, you do what you can wherever you can in order to attack that problem.
Do you think the core curriculum standards are going to make a difference in what you see in incoming freshmen?
Perhaps. I am...
That's not much of an endorsement.
No, I'm very ambivalent about that. You know, what motivates is good teaching. And it doesn't matter what the subject matter is. It's good teaching. And so if I were to be, if I were to have the power to change the world, I would help every teacher to be their best. Because if we think of our own educational experiences, those things that really turned us on were not necessarily a subject matter. It was a person in that classroom presenting that subject matter. So I think having standards that relate to things you're going to need in terms of later education is a good idea, but I think having teachers that are motivated and have a affirmative experience for their own classrooms is the most important thing. And that is very difficult because it's salary, it's the number of students, it's resources, and it's training. And it's hard. So that's why I'm saying perhaps.
Are we too busy encouraging, and certainly, as I mentioned, there's a whole drive to all the way through adulthood to get people to more people to finish a college degree. Are we encouraging too many people to go to college? If people are showing up at college not interested in doing the work.
I would say able is a much more complicated question. But if they're not doing the work and not getting through, because a lot of them are able, it's a question of who don't finish. It's a question of getting them to understand and helping them to see their abilities, which is some of the things we're trying very hard to do at UB. But, you know, there are national systems like Germany in which there are very strong career-based developmental education with a partnership between industry and, I don't know, their technical schools or training, but they're not the typical universities. We don't have that in the United States. We should have that in the United States, or at least it's not generally available. And that would siphon off some number of people who had a different sense of what they wanted to do, and it would give them careers that brings them life, because if you look at the standard of living in the middle-class life, you can get into the middle class in Germany through those kinds of programs. In this country, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So because that's the reality here, if you don't get through college, you're so disadvantaged your ability actually to make a decent living in America right now. You really do disadvantage the students. So I can't say to you shouldn't encourage all these students, because if you don't encourage them, where are they going to go, or what are the options? And, you know, everybody always wants to talk about Michael Jordan or Bill Gates. I mean, yeah, what did college mean to either of them? But they're two out of millions. So you've got to get folks into college, and then the colleges and the high schools have to do a better job at making them successful. Because there are some people who can't do the work. There are always some people who can't do the work. But I think the percentages of people who don't complete isn't at all related. The percentages aren't at all related to their ability to get through university if we change the intensity and the nature of the university experience. And if things go the way I think they'll go, if you go to UB in 5 years, you're going to see different graduation rates because of the intensity that we're putting into the supporting of student success. And we're assuming, university professors used to say, well, let's admit only the smart people. It's easier to teach them, and I don't have to deal with that. Our ethic is we should have success for the students who are presently there, and that we have a responsibility to those students to do everything we can to help them succeed. And if we do that, the rates are going to change. Very expensive, by the way, and very intensive and atypical.
In 5 years, you won't be president, but you'll be on campus. I'll find you, and we'll see how it's gone.
I hope I'm right. We'll see.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Robert Bogomoney is president of the University of Baltimore. He's retiring in August. We've got more information about UB's Finish for Free offer at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Tomorrow is Maryland Day, the 380th anniversary of the landing of ships carrying settlers from England, the Ark and the Dove, on St. Clement's Island in the Potomac River off what's now St. Mary's County. We'll be discussing the history on tomorrow's show ahead of the 10 a.m. ceremony with fifes, drums, greetings, blessings, and flags at the statue of Cecilius Calvert on the steps of the Clarence Mitchell Courthouse, Lexington and St. Paul Streets here in Baltimore. Maryland Day commemorations already have begun. Today, the Pride of Baltimore II is carrying the replica of the first Star-Spangled Banner, hand-stitched last summer by volunteers at the Maryland Historical Society, to Annapolis to be unfurled for the first time at the State House. I'm Sheila Cass. Tune in tomorrow for our discussion of the meaning of Maryland Day. But today, stay with us now on 88.1 for challenging questions on stage and screen.